All right. Good morning, Brave Church. How are you guys doing today? Having a good morning? That intro video always pumps me up. Will you do me a favor? And just for a second, I want to stop and I want to welcome our Westminster, Colorado Springs, and online campus that are worshiping with us this morning. We love you. And it is an honor to be able to worship not just all over Colorado, but honestly, all over the nation as God is using Brave more and more in all kinds of different places. So absolutely pumped to be here and share with you guys today. I want to talk this morning with you all about being called out. How many of y'all have been called out in your life before? Maybe it was a good friend who let you know when you were doing something stupid. Maybe it was a promotion for you at work when you got recognized in front of a bunch of people that you were working hard and getting to see that. Maybe for you, you're a cheater at the game of Monopoly. You know what I mean? And your eight-year-old son finally called you out about the hotels on Park Place that just appeared. You know what I mean? But all of us, at some point or another in our life, have experienced this reality of being called out. And I remember a story. I'm going to tell you this since Pastor Jeff is gone today. I'm going to tell you a story about Pastor Jeff. You guys down? You ready to hear one? I had a residency doing some sermon labs, all right? And, we're doing like little 20-minute sermonettes. And I've been reading way too many old dead theologians, and I'm fixing to come in and be the next Spurgeon and teach on Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the grace of God, the greatest message that's ever come about. And, you know, there's five or six other pastors there, and we're kind of growing together. And I'm feeling great until Pastor Jeff comes walking in through the back door and decides to sit in for my message in particular. And I remember just the fear of God descending on me in that moment. It is May the 4th. It was like being Luke Skywalker and then having Darth Vader walk in, okay? It was like, okay, here we go. And I remember giving the message and I was feeling it. You know what I mean? I was like, this is great. This is, mark it up. It's wonderful. And I remember going through and getting feedback from everybody. And some of the other pastors were there like, dude, this was fantastic. I love that you did this. I love that you did that. And I remember it got to Pastor Jeff and he was like, it was really good. And you know when somebody tells you it's really good and you know it wasn't really good when they say it to you? You guys ever, any of you married? No? Just me. Okay, cool. I remember here to say, it was so good. And he was so gracious about it. And he looked at me and he's like, here's the deal. You kind of missed the point of the passage. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll go back and start over. But here's the deal. In those moments, you either get called to more or you shrink back and you sink into something else. And here's the deal. Here's what I want you guys to know. When we're called out, we're being called to more. Pastor Jeff in that moment for me was calling more out of me because he saw more in me than I was giving. And I want you guys to know the gospel is just thick with this idea of pulling more out of you than you think you have in you. And it's almost as if Jesus knows more about you than you know about yourself. And I want you guys to get this because the Greek word that's translated church all over scripture, the word ekklesia, literally means a called out assembly. It's a group of people that are called out. The Greek word's ek, meaning out, and kalio, to call, is where we get our word for church. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, I want you to know God has called you out. This is the picture of basically the whole Bible. He calls out Abraham from Ur of the Chaldeans and sets him apart. He pulls the people of Israel out of Egypt during the Exodus. Jesus calls out his disciples from other people. In 1 Peter 4, we're told that we're told that we're a chosen priesthood. That God has set us apart to proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. In John 15, Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you to go and bear fruit. I want you guys to get this picture. The Bible is trying to hammer to us and those who are called out that we're not supposed to be like everyone else. We're supposed to be different. We're supposed to be different than the people that are around us. You're not supposed to take your cues on life from sitcoms and self-help and social media. You're supposed to take your commands from your Father in heaven, who is the creator, sustainer, and strength of your new identity in Christ. And I want you guys to get this today. The book of Galatians, where we're going to be spending our time, is just filled with this idea that you are not who you used to be, but you are something else entirely. that you have been crucified with Christ, and whatever you used to be, I'm telling you, it is dead. And what God has started in you is a new creation that is beautiful. And God wants to call so much more out of us today than I believe we think we're capable of. And I want you guys to see this new identity for us in Christ means new appetites. It means new direction. And more importantly for today, it means new relationships. The way that we think about relationships should be fundamentally different than the dumpster fire of relationships that we see in the world around us today. Can I get an amen? We should be different, church. And I want us to focus today on some important distinctives of what it looks like to live in a called out Christian community where we would embrace the holiness of God, the identity that he's giving us, and the call on our lives together. So with that, let's get into the word today. I wanna go to Galatians chapter 6, but we're gonna start just before chapter 6 in verses 25 through 26 of chapter 5. Now, if you don't know this, the verses and the chapters, those sections were put in later to help us navigate the text that was there. But this was one full letter. So you'll see as I'm reading, the context flows really nicely, and you'll see that this was a package set of verses. Let me read this right now. 5:25. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging one another or envying one another. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another, for each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. And do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Bray, will you pray with me? God, I thank you for this wonderful, glorious text. And I do not want to come into this service today and give a lecture, Lord. We believe that when your word is opened and faithfully proclaimed, Lord Jesus, you begin to transform hearts, you speak, you change things, Lord. And so we just say together, God, we want to hear you, we want to be transformed by you, and we want to meet with you in this place. Would you, in your grace and your mercy, by your Spirit, meet us here and transform us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. All right, guys. So in this text, what we're seeing is the beginning is talking about walking by the Spirit, and the end is talking about walking by the Spirit. And in between are these concepts that Paul identifies that I believe our world is in tension with to this very day. These two concepts are personal responsibility and corporate responsibility. And they're incredibly frustrating things to try to navigate together. I have a slide I want to put up for you that will hopefully be a picture for you that you can put in your mind as we talk through this entire message today. This is Mark Felix, world record holder for what is called the Hercules Hold. Those pillars are about 352 pounds a piece. I think the record is something like a minute and 25 seconds holding those things. And you can't tell from here, but our boy there is busting out of like a 5XL. I mean, it is a massively difficult thing to do. And I believe as we look at this, we'll begin to understand the tension and the balance that God has called us into. If we release personal responsibility, we're going all the way this way. And if we release corporate responsibility, we're going to go all the way the wrong direction. And God has told us, he's called us to stand in the middle where he stood when he stretched out his arms and he showed us what corporate responsibility and personal responsibility meant to God. See, right-wing people want to emphasize in our country today, the personal responsibility. Pick yourself up by your bootstraps, work hard, do the right thing, make something of yourself. And let's say the left-leaning people want to emphasize our responsibility to care for the lowest and most broken. And God, in his gospel, through the Spirit, is demanding of us both. Both. And it's an incredibly difficult thing to do, but our responsibility ultimately is the responsibility that Christ calls us to. And I have to tell you guys, for the longest time, I didn't like being called a Christian. So when people would ask me, like, what are you? I'd say, well, I'm a Jesus person or something weird like that and obscure. Because I didn't want to take on responsibility for all of Christendom. I didn't want to take responsibility for other Christians and what they were doing and how they were doing it. But listen to me, we don't need more people running from the name of Christian. We need more people standing up for the name of Christ and winning it back from the mouths of hypocrites who do not obey God with their lifestyle. We want to be the kind of people who would own that. So, we see in verse 2 this call to bear each other's burdens. We see in verse 5 this demand to carry our own load. And I want you to know the Bible's clear on this. You are entirely responsible before God for the life that you live and the decisions that you make. And although you are free to make decisions, you are not free from the consequences of those decisions. And on the other hand, we're responsible to bear one another's burdens and care for each other, lest we become like Cain, who said to God when confronted with his treachery, "Am I my brother's keeper?" In which we have the answer in the cross of Jesus Christ, which is emphatically yes. Yes, we are. Combining these two things, I think, is impossible apart from Christ. But by the Spirit of God, I believe that that is exactly the tension that Christ has called us to, so that together we would lift the standard of what God has called his church to together. So I want to start by getting back to Galatians 5, 25 through 26. Let's read through this and let's learn a little bit more what it means to be called out by Christ. Let's read this together. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become boastful, challenging, or envying one another. Okay, being called out by Christ means we stop comparing and we start walking. I want to explain something important that we see right up at the top of this text. The Spirit of God is called the Holy Spirit because he is and produces holiness in those who believe. Okay, so there's this tension. And he's saying, I want you not to just live by the Spirit. I want you to walk by the Spirit. And we want them to be the same thing, but the Bible is saying that they're not. The Bible is saying to live by the Spirit is to place your faith in the finished work of Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, ascension, all of that. And that when we do that, we have the life of Christ inside of us. It's not that Christ just gives us life. It's that he is our life now. But that's not the same as walking by the Spirit, which is our cooperation with what the Spirit is trying to do in us right now. Salvation is a work of the Lord. Sanctification, we got to link arms with the Holy Spirit on that. Let me tell you right now, that how many of you guys want more of the Holy Spirit's work in your life? How many of you guys want to be a little more sanctified? Look at the person next to you and tell them, you're being called out. Tell them, you're being called out. God is calling all of us to a higher standard here. He's calling us some more to walk by the Spirit of God. And I want you guys to know this. Everything that Jesus did in his ministry was empowered, anointed by, led by, and filled with the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, when we think about the ministry of Jesus, we tend to think about him being the second person of the Trinity, the Son. And everything that he did, he was acting out in the power of the second person of the Trinity, the Son. But actually what the Bible tells us is that the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who is fully man, fully God, truly man, truly God, was actually doing everything in the power of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, which you and I have inside of us. The ministry of Jesus was not just because he was God, so he was doing all those things. The ministry of Jesus was showing us what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit so that we could go and do the same thing. Look at the person next to you and say, you ain't got an excuse. Because if you are in Christ, you have the Spirit. You have it. Now I got to ask you guys, how many of you have tools in a shed or a shelf or a toolbox in your garage that, if you're being honest, you have not touched in like 5 or 10 years? Anybody? Ladies, out your husband right now. He paid for all those tools. He didn't even tell you he was going to get them. And now they're collecting dust. This is the time. Okay. I want you to understand, because the Holy Spirit is inside us and empowering us and growing us, God has given us a tool chest in the Spirit for everything that we need in this life. He has totally equipped you for everything that you need pertaining life and godliness. Some of the tools that the Spirit gives us, this is by no means comprehensive, but I want to read some of these to you to understand and apply scriptures. 1 Corinthians 2, 12 through 14. To bear spiritual fruit. Galatians 22 through 23. To overcome sin. To pray effectively, to boldly witness for Christ, to be assured of our salvation, to receive and use spiritual gifts, to grow in holiness, to experience true freedom in Christ, to love others supernaturally, to cause saints to overflow with hope. He allows the saints to convict the world concerning sin, righteousness, and judgment. He gives life, not to mention giving wisdom, searching the mind of God, helping us persevere, produces unity, revealing Christ to us and empowering others for the work of the gospel through us. God has turned you into an absolute tank that is set against the schemes of this world and the darkness. You are not a cruise ship just waiting for things to get to heaven. You are a battleship that has been armed to the teeth by the Spirit to go to war against the nonsense that this world is setting itself up against. I want you guys to know this today. You have a tool chest. You have the Spirit inside of you who is here to produce life in you so that when the world wants to take this arm and then lean this way or that way, by the Spirit, we get to stand and unload the gifts that God has given to us through us to the world around us. And by the grace of God, keep corporate responsibility and personal responsibility in this tension that raises the tide together. You've been supercharged by the Holy Spirit to create an environment of holiness and spiritual life wherever you go. You're not a wandering victim waiting for heaven. We're saints who have been given and anointed by the same Spirit that empowered the ministry of Jesus and ultimately raised him from the dead. That Spirit is in you right now. Right now. And you will either allow that communion and fellowship and obedience to the Spirit to drive your life, or according to this text, you will allow comparison, envy, and boasting to do so. Which takes us into this portion here where I want you guys to just consider with me for a second the reality that I'm either going to rely on the Spirit and I'm going to grow in holiness, or I'm going to look at the people around me and just try to keep up with them to decide if I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing or not. That spectrum of pride and insecurity that comparison and envy and boasting puts you on, let me tell you, firsthand experience, it's exhausting. You're not meant to live. You're not meant to run on in this new life that Christ has given you by looking around and measuring yourself based on everybody else. You're not supposed to do that. The only comparison, aside from looking at ourselves and God, that we're supposed to be doing as Christians is when I look at my own life and I look back and I see how far Christ has got me. When I see, man, look how far I've come from where I was before. Or if you're going to look at your brother or sister in Christ, you would want to look, and instead of saying, where am I to them? You would want to look and say, look how far God has brought them from where they were. The comparison that's supposed to happen in the kingdom is ultimately meant to be a work of encouragement so that we would build each other up in the Spirit, not take on this fleshly nonsense of measuring who is better. It's about all of us lifting the standard of holiness because of a love for Christ by walking in the Spirit. Holiness means to be set apart, to set a standard. And it's not setting yourself apart from other people. It's setting yourself apart for other people. so that we can build up and encourage and have each other's back instead of the nonsense that our world has become so proficient at, which is tearing each other down in the name of feeling better themselves. We're not gonna do that here. We're not gonna do that at Brave Church, which leads me to my next point. Let's read verses 1 and 2 together. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself so that you will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. Being called out by Christ means we draw lines. Means we draw lines. Now, he uses this word trespass here. How many of you guys have seen a no trespassing sign before? How many of you guys in your mind are already crossing that trespass sign? You're like, no trespassing? That's for me. I'm going. Like you just, that's who you are. And in this text, what he's trying to point at is, hey, people have this natural tendency to go where they're not supposed to go, to cross lines that they're not supposed to cross. And he wants us to know in this text, listen, if you see someone crossing a line and going where they shouldn't go, the goal is not to go there with them. It's to stand where the line was drawn and call them back to sanity, call them back to safety, call them back to where they're actually meant to be. And we as Christians are called to draw lines where God Almighty has drawn lines. We are called to have standards. And you need to know this. I mean, the whole Bible has this picture of standards that God has given to us. I've met many of you. I've been in many of your houses, and so many of you guys have the same plaque on your wall, right? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So I've drawn a line. This is what my house is going to be about, or Deuteronomy 30, right? I've laid before you today life and death. Choose life. Pick where you're going to live. What's the line that you're going to draw? And holiness is about setting a standard of living in cooperation with the Spirit of God, which means you're going to have standards. You're going to have to draw lines in your life. And I got to tell you right now, our world hates standards. It can't stand them. It wants to rearrange and come up with its own plan. And its own plan is to trespass every good commandment that God has given to his people. Our world hates masculinity. It doesn't like what God has commanded men to be, and it is actively assaulting that. Our world hates femininity and what God has called women to be, and it is actively going to war against that. Our world hates children and gender and responsibility and the word sin and the place hell and the person of Jesus. Our world hates standards and it hates holiness, and we as Christians must be people who continue to hold the ground that God has called us to, because we believe that freedom is found in that standard, and our world has taken people into bondage and into sin. I was absolutely thrilled this last Wednesday. Our pastor last week stood up and asked many of you guys to show up at the Capitol on Wednesday to stand and testify against this bill, HB 251312, which ultimately is attacking families, is attacking gender, is attacking men, is attacking women. It is an all-out assault on the family. And I got to tell you guys, if you don't know, we filled up 4 overflow rooms at the Capitol, and we set a record for the amount of people who were testifying. I got to tell you, I am so honored to be a pastor at a church where the congregants will stand for the holiness of God and protect families, marriages, and kids. I'm honored to be here. Thank you. And I am honored to be able to be on the staff with a pastor who would set that kind of tone in his congregation. Can we give Pastor Jeff some honor real quick for being that man? Jesus was filled with the Spirit. Jesus drew lines in his own ministry. Jesus had standards, but those standards weren't just for himself. Those standards were ultimately to show the world that they were in sin and in brokenness and needed to come back home. They needed to come back across that line because they were getting caught up in a bunch of stuff that they wouldn't. This story in John chapter 8 is this perfect picture of this, where you have this woman caught in adultery, and it's a mess, and you have all these Pharisees trying to use holiness as a cudgel to beat people down with it. And Jesus reminds them, all the religious people, of the ultimate standard and tells them, listen, none of you are cutting it. And unless you come to me, everyone is going to be crushed by the standard of holiness. And listen to me, if you're in here today and you're new to Brave Church or you're working your stuff out with Jesus, here's what I want you to know. If you're on the other side of that trespass sign, we are not here to crush you and beat you down with the holiness of God. I'm here to tell you on the authority of God's word that Jesus Christ was crushed for you so that you could come out of that and live in freedom and hope and joy instead of the bondage that the world is trying to put you in. He speaks these words at the end, though, that frustrate a lot of churches. And I heard a couple of woke churches earlier this week. Sometimes I feel like me and Jeff just exist to send videos back and forth to each other of bad theology that people are teaching. This lady was preaching on this message, and God help her. She was basically saying, I really love this story. It's fantastic. But this last part where he says, go and sin no more, I find it icky. She was like, I don't like that. I've been hurt by that and this. And I wanted to tell her, like, sweetheart, like, then you hate people living in freedom and hope because God loves people way too much to let them continue to run that direction when he's offering them freedom on the other side of his standard. Brave Church, the standard of God's holiness that he's calling you to is not so that you would live under a weight. No, Christ lifted that weight. He's calling you into freedom so that you wouldn't walk in bondage anymore. And you need to know that today because, yeah, we can praise God for that. I'm so bad at slowing down. I have more I want to say. I want you guys to know this today, okay? Love, okay, without a standard is just adultery. Love, removed from the virtues in scripture is not love anymore. And people like to say, use this term. You guys have probably heard it before. Love is love. No, love is Jesus incarnate. Love is what he said and what he did and what he affirmed. And if you disconnect love from Jesus, you do not have love anymore. I don't care how loud you want to yell it. The world says, choose this standard. The world says, choose money. Holiness says, choose Jesus Christ. The world says, bend to fear of man. Holiness says, fear God. The world says, sexual immorality is totally fine. Holiness says, how dare you lay a finger on a son or daughter of God outside of covenant marriage? And we want to embrace these things. Brave, be willing to draw lines. Leviticus 11:44 says, consecrate yourself, set yourself apart, be holy as I am holy. This is not an indictment, it's an invitation. Isaiah 35:8, I love this text. It's talking about this highway of holiness that the righteous would walk on. Here's what it says. There will be a highway called the way of holiness. The unclean will not travel on it. Only those who walk in the way and fools will not stray onto it. Listen to me. Some of your friends are not on this highway. Some of your friends are not walking the walk. You should be considering that today. Some of your girlfriends or boyfriends are not on this road. Some of you have been living a double life. And comparison and envy is the thing that's driving you, not a love for Jesus. And I just got to tell you today, attaining a standard that's better than your brother is not better than loving Jesus and having him transform you. And if that's you today, you got to lay that down and just give your life fully to Jesus. But this way of holiness, it's real. And God's called us to walk that highway. What kind of standard are you setting with the way that you speak and live? Do you even know where your lines are? Are you drawing them with the Spirit? Or are you just making them up? Are you dedicated to holiness or just dedicated to looking better than others? If you don't value holiness, you can't lead others. And honestly, if you don't value holiness, you can't even lead yourself. Let's look at this next text, verses 3-8. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But if each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. The one who is taught the word is to share all good things with the one who teaches him. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. Being called out by Christ means we carry our own load. The Bible tells us that we are to take up our cross daily. And nobody is going to carry your cross for you. That is the cross that Christ has given to you to carry. And ultimately, he has taken our sin and our debt and our brokenness, and he's been crucified and given us his life, but he does give us a load to carry that we cannot ask everyone else to carry. Walking in the Spirit means being led by the Spirit. It also means being present for what the Spirit is trying to do right now, not just what the Spirit did in your life 10 years ago when you got saved. And some of you guys have this awesome testimony of here's what happened and this is what was going on. And then I got saved and I started praying and I started worshiping and I was in fellowship. And I want to ask sometimes, what now? What's God doing in your life right now? Or are you just leaning on what he used to do? Because listen to me, God is always calling you to more. You've been called out. It's not something that just happens once and now I'm done. No, sanctification is this ongoing process for the rest of my life where the Holy Spirit is inviting you into greater and greater fellowship and greater, greater joy with him. And some of you are punting on that. Some of you are missing that opportunity and you're acting as though you're doing all the things. But if you're honest, it used to be something you did, but not anymore. Now, there are a lot of overweight personal trainers out there. Have you noticed? Okay. Here's how this works in my head. I'm like, this guy, not in great shape, is giving advice to the other person, not in great shape. It's okay, those things happen. And all I can think in my head is, bro, whatever he's teaching you got him to where he is right now. Like, you're looking into your future. Turn, repent, flee. But are we not guilty of this in our own life? Where we want to tell other people the right things to do, but if we're being honest, our life is not showing what it's supposed to. Men, quit telling other men how to be married and do those things if your marriage looks like crap. Ladies, quit telling other ladies how to mother and how to be a wife if you are not in good standing and you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing in your home. You can apply this at work. You can apply this a myriad of places. But God has called us to carry our own load. And oftentimes we're relying on what used to be the case and not what is the case right now. There's a lot of leaders who ended up hurting others because they stopped carrying the weight that God gave them. They stop carrying the weight that God has given to each of us that's actually supposed to anchor us to our allegiance and our reliance on him. All of us have stuff that we're carrying in our life. And God's not like, oh man, I didn't know you were dealing with that. That's crazy. That's way. No, he knows. He knows what's going on in your life. And I want to encourage you guys right now. God's not up there just blown away by it. He's given you the weight that you're carrying so that you would continue to rely and maintain tethered to him, so that you would anchor your life to him. And sometimes we get frustrated with that. We start to go to the wrong places instead of to Jesus. And we need not just to call other people into more, but we need to check our own heart. I love what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, he says, I discipline my body so that after preaching to others, I wouldn't be disqualified myself. 1 Timothy 4, Paul tells Timothy to take pains in these things. Be absorbed in them. Work hard. Verse 5 says, each man must carry his own load. As Christians, we're supposed to be working the ground. We're supposed to be busy. And when we have too much time on our hands, we tend to get jammed up in stuff that we shouldn't. Can I get an amen? You got too much time on your hands, it just doesn't go well for you. Oftentimes the reason people are addicted to pornography or substance or can't put down the phone or can't get rid of this relationship or this garbage movie or whatever the habit may be is because you have way too much time on your hands. And the call is there. God has called you out, but you've silenced your phone and you're just leaving it. You're not interested. You're going to spend your time on something else. Deuteronomy 6 gives us this Shema, all right? It's this picture of the comprehensive command that God has given to the Israelites. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. And you shall love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. He's trying to give you a picture that when God is calling you, he's not just calling one part of you. He's calling your comprehensive person. I love that Pastor John laid this out a couple of weeks ago. He was saying, listen, when you pray, I want you not to just pray with your mouth. I want you to bow and see what starts to change in your life. Why? Because the more we give to God, not just with our lips, but our whole life, our whole body, all that we are, the more that we're gonna see the Spirit working through all that we are. He's given us a mind. You're supposed to take care of your mind, what God has given you. And if you haven't been exercising your mind, that's actually not honoring to God. You should be in your Bible. You should be learning and growing and using the amazing gift God has given every single one of you in the brain that you have. Do you realize that our entire culture is set against your mind? And if you are not using it to honor God, I'm telling you, it's being used by the devil in a different way that you don't want. You have to use what God has given you. You've been given a body. God has given you a body to take care of, and sometimes our bodies are physical representations of our relationship with discipline. God didn't give it to you so that you could treat it poorly. I think Jonathan Edwards has this portion in his resolutions. I think it's the 40th one for you nerds. And he says this, he would literally watch what he would eat the night before he was preaching, because he wanted to make sure that he was physically prepared to give his absolute best to God. He saw his body as a physical expression of an opportunity to share the discipline and goodness of God with the people around him, because it was God's creation, and he didn't just want to manage it out there. He wanted to manage it here. And God has given you a heart. The Bible tells us to guard our hearts. This is perhaps the most important, because if we lose this, the other two do not matter. Proverbs 4:23 reminds us that above all, guard your heart, because out of it flows everything else. Watching what happened with guys like Ravi Zacharias and Stephen Lawson and Robert Morris was this grave reminder to me that Numbers 32:23 is true. Be sure your sin will find you out. And you cannot be filling your heart with lust and pride and unforgiveness, or strangling your conscience to silence and avoiding the call that God has placed on your life and not expect awful repercussions. The world tells you to have a hard heart. The world tells you to have a mind that is not engaged in the mission. The world tells you it doesn't matter what you do with your body. Check out Philippians 3:18-20. Paul actually shows people, he wants to talk to the Christians about the reverse Shema. When people are taking their body, mind, and heart and going the opposite direction with it. He says this, for many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you, even weeping, that they're enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction. Listen, whose God is their appetite, whose glory, or the word for strength, is in their shame, who set their minds on earthly things. Some people are literally inverted the Shema and they're walking it out the other direction. As Christians, we should have healthy rhythms in our life of exercise, education, and spiritual discipline so that we're bearing our load and able to contribute to everyone else. I want to give you guys 6 spiritual disciplines to write down and start putting into practice this week to lead yourself well. And I don't mean to be legalistic about this. If you don't do all 6, that's okay. But I want to like jumpstart some rhythms in your life. And if you guys are wondering, Pastor Justin, what's a good step? How do I start guarding my heart, my mind, my body? How do I start doing that? Here's some to look at. First is this, confess and deal with personal sin. Make confession a regular part of your day. Go before God and say, God, I got to give this to you. I'm not living the way that I should. I got to clean this up. I'm not doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The second is this, start seriously considering what matters in your life and find more time on your calendars for it. Don't have just blocks of open time in your world where anything can knock on the door and get in. You should know what you're doing when you're doing it so that every part of your life is being given over to God. And that includes relaxation time, but make sure you're doing it in a godly way. 3, be in the Word. Like be reading the Bible, memorizing it, studying it, being disciplined by it, like a warrior with his sword. A warrior is always practicing with the sword that he's been giving, not so if the fight comes, but so he's ready when the fight comes. The fight is coming. You need the Word of God. Be in it, be practicing. 4, meet regularly with God's people to grow and strengthen one another. Pastor Jeff has made this super easy for us with Cadres. Gather, grow, go. Many of you are already doing this and don't realize I'm already in a cadre. I just haven't labeled it that way. I want to encourage you. If you are not in Christian community, you are a target for the enemy. Get in community. Get with some other people. Start growing. 5, quit doing things that are feeding fear in your life. Quit doing that. news shows, conspiracy theories that go all the way down, garbage articles. Some of you are addicted to the anxiety and adrenaline that you get when you're constantly looking at what wicked people are doing. Stop staring into the void. You're supposed to get your eyes up on Christ. And yes, there are wicked things going on in our world. And yes, there are deception and lies. And no, that should not be your focus. The truth should be your focus. The light should be your focus. And if you stare in that darkness long enough, I want you to know that darkness is staring back into you. You need to be focusing on Jesus. 6, live from a place of victory, guys. Some of you guys need to tell your face you've been redeemed, okay? You've been forgiven. God is good. And so many of us are walking around with this victim mentality. Stop walking around defeated. Christ is in charge. Christ is in control. And you, my friend, have taken up arms with the one who spoke the universe into existence, who has said 365 times in his word, fear not. That's your king. That's your God. You don't have to live in fear. And you should know, just a brief comment here. Victimization is the opposite of holiness, okay? Christians don't wallow. They rise in worship. Holiness is supposed to be contagious. But some of you are living in spiritual quarantine, okay? Nobody's catching Jesus. And it's because you're living from a place of fear and you're living from a place of defeat instead of the victory that Christ says you have. If you can't carry your own load, you cannot serve others well. And if you can't serve others well, you can't honor God, because fulfilling the great commandment is allowing a love for God to translate into a transformed lifestyle to serve others for the sake of Christ. It's both pillars, personal responsibility and corporate responsibility, and by the Spirit, refusing to let go of either and holding myself in the tension that Christ himself put in so that I can model to the world who Jesus is. I want to read this last point to you guys. Let's read verses 9 through 10. Let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we will reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Being called out by Christ means we intentionally serve each other for Christ's sake. It's about him and building each other up so that ultimately we would live for him and the world would see Jesus in us. As we learn to pursue holiness and lead ourselves, we'll increasingly be able to help those around us pursue Christ. You might be bearing someone else's spiritual burden right now and you don't even realize it. I want you to get this, because sometimes you guys can be confused, and I want you to know. Y'all just had days where you felt heavy before. It's just a little bit extra difficult to do the right thing. You're fighting with a sin that it feels like nobody else is struggling with. And this, man, it's really hard. And I want you to know that you might not just be fighting for yourself in that moment. You might be taking on a generational curse that if you don't stop it right now is going to my kids and my grandkids. And if I don't draw this line, it keeps going beyond me. If I don't carry this weight and bear it now, if I let down this side, I'm not just letting it up for me, I'm letting it up for all the people that God is putting around me. Christian, your holiness, your walk with Christ is not only about you, it affects everyone. We are bearing burdens, not just that are our own, but we're bearing burdens for the people around us. And look at me, people maybe you haven't even met. I was reading this week, some Spurgeon. I was in this book my good friend gave me, and I was plowing back through some passages that I remembered. I had this, like, it was just a good moment with God. I was reading this passage, and he's talking about seeking the face of the Lord. I just had, like, a tear coming down my face, and I was like, man, I'm being crushed by this message that was written, like, 200 years ago. He is winning fights in my heart and helping bless me. And he was out of the pulpit, Spurgeon was out of the pulpit several times a month because of depression and anxiety. And if we're wondering why, I'm like, because 200 years from now, he's helping me win fights. You don't know how far your holiness is gonna go to bless the people around you. And if you think it's just about you, you're wrong. It's about all of us, because when you hold one side, you're helping hold up the other as well. You're helping lift and carry the people around you and creating courage. See, fear doesn't just beget fear. Courage begets courage, and holiness begets holiness. And when we link arms and do these things together, it is amazing what God is able to accomplish. And we as Christians have a rich heritage of doing this. One of my favorite stories from church history, if you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, is a story about these gentlemen, Latimer and Ridley. On October 16th, 1555, after spending a year and a half locked away in a tower cell for their outspoken faith, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley met together for their execution. The two men prayed, spoke briefly, and then were led to the stake where they would be burned as criminals. These men were guilty of standing against a regime that wanted to silence them and keep the word of God out of the hands of the public and put to death anyone who sought to do otherwise. History tells us that as the bundle of sticks beneath them began to catch fire, Ridley turned to his friend and strengthened him, and he said, "Be of good heart, brother, for God will either assuage the fury of the flames or else strengthen us to abide it." Then Latimer, raising his voice so that all could hear, spoke these words, "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley, and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." They strengthened each other. They had standards. And when the moment of fire came, they linked arms and they held each other, stay the course. A mere 3 years later, Queen Mary I, or Bloody Mary, the Catholic monarch responsible for their deaths, died, leaving the throne to her Protestant half-sister. The country that had burned them alive for their convictions was now being reshaped by the very truth that they refused to deny. These men lit a candle with their faithfulness to their own holiness and their faithfulness to each other, and literally got to see from the other side the entire nation that had put them to death get reborn in a whole different way, and they got to see the change and transformation that they had been begging to see their entire life. I want that here so bad. Brave Church, every campus, I want us to link arms and raise the standard of holiness and see all of Colorado get wrecked with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want that so bad for us. The strength that Christ has given you is not just for you. He's empowered you to live like he did for others. This is the call of Christ Jesus, to come and die to yourself and to take the position of personal responsibility and corporate responsibility and extend your hands like Jesus did to live in that kind of tension. And he says this in verse 10, which is important. "So then while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who are of the household of the faith." You will not always have the opportunity. You think you will. Nobody thinks they're going to get that call that tells them they have 9 months to live. And I got to tell you guys, I've done a lot of funerals here as a pastor. We are not here that long. We're not. And I want to ask you guys this question. What is getting your life? Are you living in a called out way where you're allowing the fullness of the Spirit to live in and through you, where you're getting to see holiness in my personal life come up and I'm getting to see it benefit and bless the people around me? Wives, if you're in your family, I'm telling you right now, you start walking out holiness in your life, your whole family's gonna grow. Men, if you would walk out the fullness of what Christ has called you to, I'm telling you, things are gonna elevate where you're at. And if we as a church would walk in the fullness of that tension that God has called us to, I believe we would see Colorado and maybe this nation radically changed by the holiness of God, because people in a church set a standard and said, "We're not going to move. We're going to stand for Jesus no matter what." Amen. Let me pray for you. Father God, I thank you so much for this word today that reminds us of the tension that you've called us to live in. And I pray that everyone in this congregation, Lord, would stretch out both hands and take hold of what you have called us to take hold of by the Spirit of God. And in that, Lord Jesus, we would link arms and see the world radically change for you. We love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.